Reggie Love cutting it back and into the end zone. A healthy Reggie Love puts the Illini on top. Three catches for 80 yards for Bryant. Paddock wants him again. He's got him again. Stretching the field. He's out of bounds. And Paddock to throw. Washington turns around. Reaching for the pylon. And he's in for six. And the bull rush gets to Sorsby. Upended by Gabe Backus, who absolutely dominated his man. Inside a half minute.
Got to go to the end zone.
And Paddock does. It's in there. Touchdown, Pat Bryant. Paddock, another magical drive in a two-minute spot. A sixth penalty on Indiana. Moves the chains. First down. And Paddock going deep again. Williams breaks out of there. Isaiah Williams in for another touchdown. The over-the-top coverage for the Illini with a takeaway. Rusenich had the coverage. The start of the fourth quarter. It's a first down for the Illini. Here's Love hitting a seam. Love in for a touchdown.
Touchdown, Illinois.
This to give Indiana a lead in overtime, and Freeman nails it for the Hoosiers. Paddock running away. Casey in pursuit. Paddock to Williams. The legend grows. Paddock to Williams. There are no flags.
Unbelievable.
Hey, what's up? It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, Derek Piper Lante, and it's a Monday, Jay Layman Mondays, and they're fun after wins, and boy, what a win.
Yeah, buddy, John Paddock for president.
Let's go.
Not only should be the starter, he's my 2024 candidate. I got to find a running mate for him.
Isaiah Williams?
Isaiah.
Oh,
I'm Paddock in. And Williams, I'm in.
I'm in.
That's a good fit.
I'm voting for that all day.
He's the real deal. My goodness, let's just jump right into it, guys.
Let's go.
Here's the deal. You cannot bench a guy that throws 500 for 500 yards.
That's incredible.
You cannot bench a guy that sets a Memorial Stadium record for yardage. There's been some good QBs in Memorial Stadium, some good receivers and everything. You cannot bench that guy. And I know that Luke Altmyer is your quarterback of the future, but a win against Iowa, a possible chance at the Big Ten West Division championship, possible outside shot, not mathematically eliminated, as Harry Carey would say, and a bowl game on the line. He is a guy that's playing an extremely high level, and the team believes him. They feel like they got a chance when they play with him. So John Paddock, we'll get right down to it. That's a big question, but he has. I believe he should be the starter against Iowa, and Iowa's defense going to be better than Indiana.
Yeah.
But I believe he should be the starter.
I just have always heard you shouldn't lose your job over an injury, right?
Here's the deal. We talk about the Wally Pipp story, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Wally Pipp took a day off and Lou Gehrig never gave it back, right?
Right.
You should not lose your job over an injury. I think it's different because it's the quarterback, right? It's such a unique position. So let's say a guy does something equivalent. You know, a guy has 25 tackles, which is like having 500 yards passing.
You had that in high school, I heard.
Right.
I heard Friday night.
There you
28,
go.
Didn't you?
29 against Urbana, right?
29.
Listen, Whether that guy's the starter or not, you're going to get him on the field. But there's also two or three linebacker positions, right? You get him on the field.
Good point.
If a guy had drains nine threes in a game, it's like, shoot, this guy needs to play. Well, there's three guard positions, but there's one quarterback position, right? And so I think when we look at the over, there's arguments for both. Yeah, Altmaier is your quarterback of the future. Yes, you want to keep him happy. Yes, there was an injury. But the ultimate thing is, what is the best for the team at this moment in time? That's the one question you have to answer. It's not what is Luke Altmaier going to think. It's not what John Paddock's going to think. It's not what Billy Bob down the street thinks. It's what is best for the team. And what's best for the team is that you get the reigning Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week who lit up Indiana like the Christmas tree they are for 507 yards, two game-winning drives. Come on, man.
Okay.
You can't bench that cat.
I think everybody down the street, Billy Bob, Billy Joe, all of them, they want John Paddock. They want more of John Paddock. Also, I mean, if you're just going by on principle, I don't think you can do that for a football team. Like, all principle is you get hurt, your job's there when you come back. It wasn't there for Drew Bledsoe when he came back.
That's true.
First of all, I think principle went out the window about 20 years ago. Remember those guys, the seniors play, they start. Mm-hmm. The underclassmen don't start.
The freshman redshirt.
Until Johnny Manziel, won the Heisman. Whoops, that got broken. Hey, there's loyalty and tradition. You're going to be here 4 or 5 years. That got ruined with the transfer portal. Guys, we are microwave society. We want it now. We want wins now. We want it built now. Shoot, Zach Arnett just got fired for being 4-6 in his first year at Mississippi State. He gone. Jimbo Fisher couldn't get it done. $76 million later, he gone. But he's going to be comfortable, right?
Yes, he is.
We're talking about winning right now. We're talking about beating a big rival for us in the Big Ten West, a chance at winning the division, and you're going to sit a guy down?
Okay.
That threw for 500 yards, and by the way, 22 yards of completion, 19 passes, guys, for 15 yards or more. If you could look up in 2021 offense and see how many completions they had for 15 yards or more, it might be under 30.
Right?
We haven't seen offense like that in decades.
What is Paddock doing better than Altmaier was doing?
Great question. Okay, first and foremost, he's had better protection.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it like it is. He had all day to throw except for the last play where he used some escapability to get out to his right and hit Williams in stride. He's had time, which allows him to go through his progressions, right, and to look off safeties. He's doing an incredible job of going through his progression and look off safeties, but you can't do that if somebody's chasing you.
Right.
Because you got to dodge somebody. So the offensive line has played a lot better. That Josh Cruz plays best game. Isaiah Adams and Julian Pearl played well. I think also Zy Chrysler's healthier.
Yes.
He made a couple good plays there. Gaskey played his best. Now, you could say, it's Indiana. Yeah, I get it. But we played better. This Indiana team, by the way, lost by about a score to Penn State. Within a score, right? So all I got to say is, when you look at the protection, how he's working through his progressions, and he does play with a lot of swagger and confidence.
He does.
When he sees an opening, he pulls the trigger and throws it. His release is average. It's not like an Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo, the ball's out in like under half a second release, which is what those guys are famous for, but it's a good release, and he's been accurate, okay? That last throw, he's rolling to his right. Isaiah's rolling to his right. He hits him in stride with a dime, right? His first two balls sucked. He got over it, and guess what? He played a lot better after that. You guys, we can't deny what we're seeing.
Amen.
He's been worth two wins to this football program. How much are two wins worth? A lot.
A lot.
You want to be 3-7 or 5-5?
Good call.
It's worth a lot to Brett. Hmm. I mean, if I'm the coaching staff, if I'm Barry Luddy, thank God for John Paddock. Thank God the guy walked on because his grandpa, great-grandfather, and uncle paid here. Thanks for saving my bacon. I'll give you an extra meal at varsity table. Come on, man. Let's be real. No, start this guy. And I love Luke Altmaier. Probably played his best game, Luke Altmaier, against Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think he's the best quarterback in the Big Ten West until John Paddock showed up.
Wow.
Right? And
wow.
And then here's the deal. First of all, we got to retire some of the lines that coaches say. This is just a tangent. We're retiring. This is total tangent. The whole 1-0 line, We're going 1-0 in the Indiana season. Now, I don't hear Brett say that. I hear teams saying that or trying to string together a win or two, right? It's not about 1-0. You don't hear Nick Saban say that because the goal is national championship.
Exactly.
You don't hear Ryan Day say that. It's not being 1-0. So that needs to be banned. Another thing that needs to be banned is this. I love what Brett's saying, that he's the same guy since January, but he's not. Because if he was the same guy, he would have been starting, right? There's something different about the guy. He's got better. He's the same guy we see since January. I get what he's saying demeanor-wise.
Right.
Hey, he's the same guy. But was he throwing like this In January, was he throwing like this? In spring ball, was he throwing like, because if he was.
If he's been the same guy, you got some questions to answer.
Right. If he's been the same guy, this is the whole same guy, the whole one to know, it's got to be fired. Like all that stuff, he's a different guy. Guys improve. He's improved. I know what Brett's saying. I'm just excited to be excited about Illinois football.
Amen.
Come on.
The most passing yards in the FBS this year in a single game. Shedeur Sanders, number one. John Paddock, number
Unbelievable.
Two.
Unbelievable.
That's quite a stat.
That's astounding. Think about where this offense has come in 4 or 5 weeks. Just leaps and bounds. Yeah. And I will say this. Hats off to Barry Lunny as well. He's had 4 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter. Count them. Toledo, Maryland, Minnesota, Indiana.
That's impressive. Right?
So he's called games to give us a chance to win in the fourth quarter. All right? That's impressive. I got to give credit to Altmyer for 2 of those. 2 of those were John Paddock. So both those guys have done it. But I also want to give credit to them at the end of the half when we were down 27-12 or 27-13 and Kenari Wilcher's kickoff got called back.
Yes.
The game turned. We were able to get 2 touchdowns before half, make it 27-26. And that really was key. The way they called plays, the way guys got open. Whether it was Indiana's poorest defense, where they had tons of missed assignments, guys running wide open all over the field, that turned the game as well. They played, for the most part, well in the last 4 minutes of the half, of the first half, and well in 2 minutes. You can win a lot of games doing that.
Did I see this correctly, that Isaiah Williams added to the Biletnikoff Award watch list? And if so, like, what does that mean?
He's a
so
write-in candidate, right? First of all, it's really, really rare if you're not on the watch list, like, to get back on the watch list. You got to be exceptional. So good job by the Illinois PR staff and Brett Moore and everybody gets him in there, right? Because I think that's a lot of work to get him in there. I think he's the second best receiver in the Big Ten. Marvin Harrison Jr., far and away, probably the number one, number two pick in the draft. I mean, if you were to build a receiver on Madden, that would be Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Even the genetics, like make sure his dad's really good. Okay, got it, right? So like Marvin Harrison, but what Isaiah Williams has done, he's gotten better and better and better. Now, he still makes some critical errors. He dropped the punt. Mm-hmm. He dropped the game-sealing touchdown pass. That was a dime from Paddock. He just dropped it. That allowed us to kick a field goal. And, of course, as Illinois seems to do, let them drive down the field, right, and tie up the game. But here's the deal. You touch the ball 20 times a game, you're going to make some mistakes like that, right? Like a quarterback's going to make some mistakes, right? But Isaiah Williams, able to bounce back like he did in Minnesota, he's more than just a slot receiver. He's becoming a legitimate deep threat. And on that last play with Paddock, it became a plaster drill. Plaster drill's this. Hey, the play breaks down, okay? Protection breaks down. There's rush on Paddock. Once he breaks the pocket, there's going to be a plaster call from the defense. That means, hey, find whoever you're guarding. Plaster him. You got to go man-to-man, no matter what the defense is, because the receiver is taught, go run a route that's easiest for the quarterback to complete, right? And what you'll see is you see Isaiah Williams break off the post route and turn it into a post corner. So he runs the post, then runs to the corner of the end zone, totally breaks the ankles of the guy that's guarding him, then gets 2 or 3 steps on him. Paddock able to get outside that pocket on a bad wheel. He's banged up a little bit. Didn't look good in the last drive of the fourth quarter because he was banged up.
Right.
We didn't have anybody except Leary to come in for him, and drops an absolute dime. So not only is Isaiah Williams better he's a solid receiver. He's a big play receiver as far as down the field, but he's improvising and has that mesh with his quarterback to make those big plays at big time times.
I'm going to let you get a drink of water because you've been going consistently.
Woo, baby.
Our guy Donnie's here. We're going to talk about our great sponsors that make this show happen after you take a drink. I've got one more question about Isaiah Williams. That play that he made, obviously Isaiah's been in college a few years, right? He's a veteran now.
Yeah.
But does every receiver make that move right there like that and just make it into a post corner like you just said, or is that just instinct?
I think a lot of it, receivers are trained to do that, but bodies in motion tend to stay in motion, so he would probably keep crossing over. But once he saw the quarterback break out to the right, you see him be able to stop on a dime. There's a reason Alabama offered him to be a receiver. There's a reason he had offers from everybody over the country. It's his ability to change direction. Actually doesn't have elite top-end speed if you watch him, but has enough slipperiness in short spaces that he'll make you miss in a phone booth. So he's really, really good at that. I think he's grown as a receiver hands-wise. But speaking of that, let's talk about our sponsors,
let's
Iroquois Federal. Iroquois Federal is your one-stop shop for all your lending needs, located in Savoy, in Champaign. in Champaign at the Crossing and just south of Savoy 16, excuse me, just north of Savoy 16 in Savoy. Hey, got to talk to Mark McHale. Bob Guido's my guy. Ryan Lowry for all your commercial lending needs, commercial lines of credit. Brenda Crane for your owner-occupied loans. They love to lend. They're a local community lender. You got to hit them up at great rates. Even though interest rates have gone up, hey, they've got competitive rates and great service. And you know what? When you have a loan on property, you have to have insurance. So Kyle at IPG Insurance, that's Kyle Lewis, my personal insurance agent. He can write auto, home, life, and habitational, underwrites all of my, and insures all of my rental properties. He's your guy. And of course, if you're looking for dinner Wednesday through Saturday, mm-hmm. you got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. We had Donnie in here right now. Guys, Donnie tore his calf. He's hobbling around, but what he's still...
I just noticed that.
Guys, come for the fried pickles, stay for the steak. I'm telling you right now, you got to try the fried pickles. They're amazing. The frog dressing in beautiful downtown eclectic Gifford. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 o'clock. Come on. We still got the fried pickles. We win the West. It's all me and Lon. Free fried pickles.
That is still live. That is still live.
That cooking can be a little dangerous over there, it looks like. Making... tearing calves.
He's tearing calves, frying pickles, taking names.
Let me go a negative route real quick. You gave up the most points you've given up this year. Obviously, overtime, three more that Indiana happened there. But, you know, not the best showing defensively.
Yeah, it was brutal.
By this team. Yeah, it was. I mean, a lot of just...
Come on, they give up 50 points to Indiana. Right. It was brutal.
Right? Well, hell, they do that every time they play Indiana. Why is that?
Well, I would say this. First off, Indiana has made some strides. They're a new OC, Rod Carey. They fired their OC first week of October. Walt Bell got fired.
Yes.
Rod Carey takes over. They've been better, okay? I like the game plan that Indiana had. Illinois played bad, but the game plan was this. We can't block these guys up front of the pass rush, but if we are in shotgun, take a one-step drop and get the ball out in 2.5 seconds, Johnny Newton can never get to us, right?
Yep.
And we got a big guy who's 6'5". On Taz Nicholson, who's 5'10", and you know what? It felt like, hey, 80% of the time he's either going to catch it or get a PI.
13 catches.
14 penalties for 139. Guys, that's atrocious.
It's horrible.
If we lose, we're talking about that all day long. Turnovers as well, right? We had some turnovers as far as Paddock had a pick. But I would say this, okay? Taz Nicholson, you have two options. I can change the personnel or I can change the scheme.
Mm.
At half, they said, let's get a bigger body. Let's move Xavier Scott from safety or nickel, whatever he's playing, and let's put him on Donovan McCulley. Well, that didn't work much better, a little bit better.
Right.
But I would say this. Listen, can we get a little safety help? I know we're a man team, but like if that's all they could do, let's get a little safety help and try to stop the run. The problem was is we weren't stopping the run that great. They were running. They were doing different things to us that we were not necessarily ready for.
Right.
And I'm like, man, we should be better than that. I actually think we match up better against Iowa than we did Indiana-wise. Offensively, not necessarily defensively. Offensively, because Iowa's just going to run the ball, and they can't throw the ball with a Deacon Hill.
Exactly.
Right? So it's not earth-shattering breakdown. But I actually think this matchup, at least on paper, you're like, man, I feel like we can do some stuff against Iowa. Now, we're probably going to win 9-6 or lose 6-9, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't play good. We did not play good defensively, and it was poor. I think Johnny Newton was good, as always, disruptive, as always. Just didn't have time to get to the quarterback. Gabe Backus played better. Didn't have time to get the quarterback. Ball's getting out. We had some big misses on the quarterback run. Like, somebody's got the quarterback run. Brendan Sorsby running for 2 touchdowns. You've got it. It's either the outside linebacker or the inside linebacker. We got to have something figured out. A lot of times we're in man coverage. We should have been able to stop the run. We didn't. Oh, man, we got lots of texts coming in here. It says, Jay, how much pre-workout use or smelling salts did you do before the show? None, man. Although Zook used to give us smelling salts before kickoff. He would take the smelling salts himself. Okay? I think Luke Altmaier is going to join us at 4 today.
He is.
Right?
So that is correct.
309 says he's not going to join. Yeah, he's going to join us. Luke's a team player. We know that. Okay. You know, we got 651 over here saying, I agree with Jay, right, with a hot hand. Come on. He's hot, right? Let's go.
He is hot.
What can you say? But the defense was bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
I'll say that. Yes.
You want to weigh in? You can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. Hit us up. Any questions you have for Jay, comments as they go down the stretch. Big one against the Hawkeyes coming up this Saturday. And then, of course, you got Northwestern to finish this thing out. We'll break down Iowa as we go along and more dynamics from this thrilling overtime win over Indiana. Ooh. A lot to discuss further. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment, all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Hey, Fighting Illini fans! D&D Advertising has the new 2023-2024 basketball schedules ready for pickup at these fine businesses:
Illinois Excavation Septic Concrete, Beast Mode Painting LLC, SK Exteriors, George Mallet Company Garage Door, Twin City Industrial Rubber Hose, Studio Nails, Champaign Eye Professionals, Inspire Your Wedding and Events, Express Employment Professionals, Thomas Mamer Attorneys at Law, Oak Creek Outdoor Service Tree and Landscaping, The Dentist Gray, Yellowly and Black, DDS, Armor Shield Concrete Coatings, Latitude Apartments, Campus Culinary Solutions, New Era Cannabis Products and Accessories, Raise Heating and AC, Burner Plumbing, Horn Installation, Allstate Insurance, William Abel. Please patronize these fine businesses as they are an asset to the community.
D&D Advertising Enterprises is not licensed, affiliated with, or endorsed by any university, sports institution, or program unless specifically stated in writing. No proceeds from any of the funds collected for your ad will be given to any educational institution or sports team. We are not responsible for any schedule changes made after printing.
Urbana Park District invites 18 and up to a special caregivers class for people to care for loved ones with memory loss. This free class meets Tuesdays from November 14th to January 16th from 2:30 to 4 p.m. Get stress-reducing ideas and support from others who choose home care for a loved one with memory loss. You work hard to give your loved ones peace of mind and familiar surroundings. Sign up for the Stress Busters class at urbanaparks.org.
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West Springfield Avenue for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, with 16-ounce drafts, just $3.25, well drinks $4, plus wine and seltzers for $4.50, and pitchers are $9. Taco Tuesdays get you big tacos for $2.50, $2 off on tequila shots, and margaritas are $5. Get Mexican beers for $4 each. Go south of the border on Tuesdays at Pia's, then there's Whiskey Wednesdays and karaoke a few times a month on Fridays with $4 fireball shots. Uh-oh. Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get five bottles in the Coors Light bucket
stations,
for
$16.75 to your next Fox
or enjoy
News
the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. For the Bears, $4 Miller Lite drafts in the 22-ounce keeper mugs and Simply Spiked lemonade. Pia's is the place to party any day of the week.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience. Several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Two minutes to your next.
Sirs and the Spectrum, thank you for not smoking.
I love those. It is the Drive Time Fiber ESPN Radio. 93.5.
They used to do
that. Dos minutos.
Yeah, they used to do that.
As they do
with
the Miami Heat game.
Yeah, is that what they say?
Yeah.
Perfect.
2 minutes, dos minutos.
Boom.
There it is.
So you had a press conference today for Marquette.
Yes, we did. It was partnered with the football, so we did it all over at Memorial Stadium.
Nice.
You had Brad Underwood, then Barry Lunny, then Aaron Henry, then Brett Bielema. It was busy over there.
I was going to say there's a lot of people.
Yep.
Well, we got Jay Layman here.
We do.
I never got invited to the press conference. But because I'm so sick and tired of different coach speak that you hear at the press conference.
You don't need any more
milk,
of it.
The milk toast. I love some of these Big Ten coaches, but you could literally record them on Tuesday on their press conference or Monday or whatever it is, and you don't even know what game they're talking about.
Right.
Or what team. They're like, yeah, they play really good. They're defensively, they're strong. Offensively, they're doing some special things, you know. We just got to come in and play our game. We're worried about us this week.
Right.
We want to go 1-0 in the Illinois week. You know,
Jay's got it down. Hiring,
just like, dude, just for once. I like first the preseason presser. I went there in August at the media days to say we didn't get done what we wanted to do in the offseason.
Yeah.
We suck.
Yep.
I hope we turn it around. That would be so refreshing.
I do feel like Coach B gives you a little more.
Oh, his post game's really good.
It is.
Now he's especially after losses, he's banging tables. He's ready. He's fired up. I mean, we see the Bulldog Brett come out. I mean, we see it. He's a little more tempered. He's a little bit more tempered come Monday. You know, and the draw comes out a little bit more. Uh-huh.
I will say today, for him to hit us with today, the whole he gets asked about the quarterback situation. I think he did a little bit this last week too. He's like, well, you know, also Donovan Leary's been playing well in practice.
Oh, yeah,
Cal's doing some
in.
Things.
And Cal! I'm like,
why are we doing this?
Dude, he's the understudy of the redirect. The only buddy better than the redirect on is Jim Harbaugh. That dude is, I mean, he must have majored in trigonometry. The tangents that guy goes off of, I mean, the tangents is like, when they ask him, like, what about the suspension? He's like, talk to this guy, JJ, right here. He's just doing great, you know? And you know, I'm not really familiar with different things. Like, it's like, you can't pin these guys down.
No.
I mean, you cannot pin them down for a question to save your life. And a lot of these guys, I will say, they would argue, I have no incentive to give you all my cards.
There's no doubt.
So here's, do we really want them to be open and honest? Do we want them to win? We want them to win.
Yep.
Do whatever you want to do.
Yep.
As long as you're winning. Once you lose, everything is criticized, right? What you're wearing, you know, what
how you sound.
Do, how you sound.
There's no doubt.
Who you're playing. But if you win, hey, it's all good.
Let's go.
I want to get to a couple of questions on the U of I Atlanta League text line. We had one from Marty. Says, how good is Paddock? Makes Lenny looked good. It looked like we had a world-class OC calling these plays. Same calls Luke had, but the throws are in stride. The short routes, Paddock is the real deal.
Okay, so Lon makes a great point. When we come in, he says, man, we actually look fast on Saturday. The implication is we haven't looked fast in prior games, right? Part of that is this. You know, we had no separations against Penn State at all receiver-wise. We're playing against better athletes, but number two, there's a ton more pressure on the quarterback. And when you have 3 or 4 seconds to get away from somebody, it's hard to cover anybody for 3 or 4 seconds, right?
Yeah.
I can't cover my 11-year-old yard in the yard for 3 or 4 seconds, right? We try to play one-on-one. Like, I'm getting dusted. So, like, what I say is, like, when you have time, you look faster.
Sure.
Number one. Number two, we're playing against better we were playing against worse athletes against Indiana than we were Penn State. Number three, John Paddock played incredible.
He did.
Barry Lenny had some good calls. He dialed up some great plays, some creative plays, got it to number one no matter what. When everybody in the stadium knows you want to throw to number one, you can still get the ball at number one 9 times for 200 yards. That's impressive. You want to get him touches. Pat Bryant. I've been hard on Pat Bryant. Says he's got to be better at contested catches. Pat Bryant showed up. Casey Washington showed up. Ashton Holland showed up blocking and catching the ball when we needed him. So I think when the O-line plays better, everybody plays better, makes the offensive corner look a lot better. Listen, no matter who was calling the plays against Purdue or against Nebraska, it wouldn't look good. Our O-line was not playing great. I don't care how good your calls are if you can't execute anything.
Before you ask the next question, Derek, on the text line, you lose Luke Altmyer, and you have the sense of, all right, now you got John Paddock, who's a veteran, and it seems as though Barry Lunny hasn't had to change anything in terms of dialing back. Maybe even more so, it seems like you're going the other way, although I'm sure it's not. Is that because Paddock is so experienced, or is it just second guy up has got to know the playbook as the first guy, and here we go?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, I think that Paddock is experienced. He started 12 games. Supposedly it was a quarterback battle. I don't know if it actually ever was a quarterback battle. We don't actually think it was.
Right.
They say it was, but, you know, it sounds like Luke's been the guy for quite some time. But Paddock's obviously a very bright individual, number one. Number two, I think the game lent it to when Caden Fagan went out, you only really have one back. Now, Reggie Love did great in backup duty and come back and whatnot. But they were like, hey, we're going to – and we got behind. We weren't able to play from ahead.
Good call.
So you had to throw the ball more. And that's honestly what was working. So if something's working, let me just keep going back to it, right? If I got a pony and it works, I'm going to keep riding that pony. And the throw game was there. And Paddock was accurate with it. Had that one errant throw that was a mistake. But other than that, really played solid.
There was a question. One said joining late. Did Jay say keep rolling with Paddock or go with Altmyer? Jay, you can reiterate.
Yes, yes. Go with Paddock. I also see 309 says, come on, Jay. Indiana defense sucks compared to Iowa defense. I said that. That's obvious.
A lot
right?
of defenses suck compared to Iowa's defense.
Iowa's defense is really good.
Really good.
What I'm saying, though, is this. When we play Iowa's offense, our defense is not going to be nearly as bad as they were against Indiana's. Because our strength should be stopping the run.
Amen.
Okay? Where the Iowa strength is not throwing the football. If anything, they can run the ball. That's about it. A little bit. They haven't even done that well.
Mm-mm.
Right? Like trying to nail Jello to the walls.
I don't know what that meant.
I don't know.
In terms of like.
Oh, the coaches.
Coaches in the.
I haven't heard that one. That's a good one. I haven't done nailed Jello to the wall. Reminds me of Grandma's house, like on Thanksgiving, you make those Jello things.
Yeah, I never ate those.
Yeah,
you didn't?
They always looked weird.
I always liked them.
That was a 1990s staple snack, right? A staple thing, right? I think those have been outlawed by the healthy moms now. No right. more mac and cheese. No more hot dogs. The 90s are the generation of the junk food. Like, hey, you want cereal? Great. Eat all the cereal or what? You
Here's
want
a
mac
box.
And cheese? You want Pop-Tarts for breakfast? Sure. Here's a hot dog, mac and cheese,
Pop-Tarts.
Are we not
the
supposed
thing.
To still be living like
some,
that?
Some, yeah. some Jello.
What? Sounds like Lon's morning breakfast.
Some right. SpaghettiOs.
Pop-Tart and Tang.
Yeah.
My son loves SpaghettiOs.
Tang. Tang. Wow.
The drink of astronauts.
What a great marketing campaign for some sugar oranges.
Jay, we know where you stand as far as who should get the nod to start. How would you approach it, though, in terms of like a read of how long would John Paddock's leash be in that game? Of course, you're probably going to want to see some practice reps from Luke Altmyer this week, but how do you think Brett would approach it, and how would you approach it as far as that goes?
I would go in and say this. Paddock, you're my guy. You're playing this game, okay? We know Luke has been the starter. If you keep performing like you're performing, dude, you're my guy, right?
Hey,
if we need to make a switch because I feel like we need a burst, we need some momentum or something happens, be prepared that I could take you out. But go and play out. I don't want to have it, hey, we're going to give you the first series.
Right.
Then Luke's going to come in and we're going to go back and forth and see who plays better. No, you're my guy. Doesn't mean I can't yank you at any time, but that's any game.
Yeah.
Any position.
Right.
Right? But you're my guy. And it's not like, hey, make one mistake, you're out. No, he's going to make some mistakes because it's a football game against other scholarship players. It's going to happen. Do I think the leash is as long as Altmyer had this year, which only got revoked in the Penn State game? No. I think the leash is a little bit shorter, right? So we'll see, but I think you got to have Paddock as your guy.
You have to give this running back room credit in the sense that there has at least been one person ready to go each game. And I'm not ripping Caden Fagan this week. It just, he got banged up.
Right.
Reggie Love is finally back. And then he looked, I mentioned to you, like he got shot out of a cannon
right.
half the time. He had so much speed on cutbacks and right. everything. This room that came in with all this depth, and now all we've talked about all year is how we have so many injuries. It's always one guy that steps up each week.
Right. I give him a lot of credit for that.
I do, too. Yeah. And Reggie Love looked great this week.
We've had a lot of injuries at running back. Sure, at first it started with Jordan Anderson,
yep.
right? He's out before the minute. Then McCray goes out with the neck. Okay, then we had Aiden Lawford, who's now out for the season because he had some knee injury. So now, and now Fagan's out. Now all we have is Reggie Love. I don't know who's behind
it's
Reggie
Fidonzo,
Love.
Right?
He's Fidonzo.
Then they brought over two dudes from the defense.
So we don't even have a scout team back, right?
I mean, right.
Now, the one thing that could happen is if Reggie Love gets banged up and Fagan can't go, then you really have no run threat except Altmyer. Altmyer seems to be the best run threat we've had some games.
That's a good point.
So he could come in and he has that quarterback run. Now Paddock certainly looks athletic enough to run the football.
I agree.
So I'm not saying that he couldn't do it, but I will say Luke has an uncommon ability to get yards you think he's unable to get based on defenders. He's sneaky shifty out there and also very slightly built. Paddock's a little bit thicker. And so I don't know if that plays into it. Hey, we're not running the ball at all. Maybe Luke Altmyer in for some quarterback runs or the ability to scramble gives us an edge. I don't know. I still think, though, that John Paddock has to be the guy. And it sounds like from Brett's press conference that Luke looks like he's trending to be healthy.
Able to play, yep.
But it sounds like he's got to pass one more thing tomorrow. And so I think right now John's probably getting the reps tomorrow, which would lend to me.
Yeah.
And he probably is going to probably in the driver's seat to start. I don't know. It's all speculation at this point.
Pipes, how about a play where you got Paddock, Isaiah Williams, Luke Altmyer all lined up in the behind center, like, you know, three wide. Who's getting it? Who's throwing it?
That's
Let's go.
I could see that.
What will Iowa?
It reminds me of the first play Kansas
yes.
ran where they had both Bean and Daniels back
That's
there.
That's a great point. And you were like, what's going on here? You've seen Iowa's defense more than
yeah.
I have.
Oh, yeah.
What exactly do they do just so well? Do they just smother you, or what is it?
We always get this question, and let me just break down from a historical perspective. So the defense has really its genesis under the good Michigan State teams of the mid-'80s. It was Nick Saban and Norm Parker, and Phil Parker was a defensive back with them, an All-American defensive back at Michigan State. They play what you would call under, that's a front, under cover, I call it cover six, which means they're going to run cover four, which is quarters coverage to the field, the wide side of the field, and then cover two to the boundary. That's the short side of the field. They're going to run that 95% of the times. That was first really created by, not created, but Saban and Parker really did it, Norm Parker. Norm Parker becomes the DC for Kirk Ferentz in 1999 when he takes the job, has the job for 12 years, passes away. Phil Parker, no relation, takes over. That this defense has its genesis back there. And basically it's this. We're going to play this zone defense, all the eyes on the quarterback all the time. So they're always going to have zone eyes. I mean, they're going to see their man, and they're going to be reading the quarterback's eyes. That's why they're top five in the nation in picks over the last top five over the last 5 years. They're also going to have a safety made famous by Bob Sanders' position, made famous also by Phil Parker back in the day in Michigan State, where he's going to have his feet at 8 yards flat-footed. That means he's not charging upwards. That means he's not trying to get back. He's flat-footed. I mean, he's reading. Is it run or pass? On a run, he's always going to be the eighth man up, okay? On a pass, he's always going to be the guy back. But if you can get him up on play action, which they can never seem to get Bob Sanders back in the day to play action, you can throw over the top of it for some big plays. But they're always going to have a roof on it, but they're going to have that guy who kind of shifts back and forth. And you always see a safety making plays with Iowa. You also have good DBs there. I mean, there's been some good DBs over. They've had some Thorper winners. Who was the guy a couple years ago, 5 or 6 years ago? I know his handle.
There was a knight. Was there a knight?
The Black Badger is his name. Is his handle? Not King. Something like
it
that.
It was King. There was a King.
Desmond King.
Desmond King. Desmond King was the guy. And Cooper DeJean plays the same position. And they what's I tell about Iowa is this. So many young players are thinking about defensively, okay, how am I in the right spot? Am I lined up? Okay, right. I'm attacking the A-gap. They're going to play the same thing, and they're going to be more worried about what the offense is doing, not what I'm doing. As an elite player, you want to shift from what am I doing on this play to how is the D offense going to attack me, right? That's what I used to my advantage all the time. I knew what I was doing, stone cold, whatever position you put me in. I'm focused on what they're going to do and anticipating what they're going to do. And I would say that's what makes Iowa elite defensively. Yes, Brad Underwood, as one of our texts would call them elite.
He would, yes.
He would call them elite defensively, is that they're not worried about what they're doing. They're worried more about what is the offense going to do, their tendencies, their personnels, their down and distances. And so the focus is up, and they're able to read and react much better.
Great explanation. How about your sponsors? You can explain those guys perfect.
Iroquois Federal, baby. It's Savoy and Champagne for all your lending needs. Bob Guido, wow, he's getting loans done for me every week. Brian Lauer, getting a loan done for me this week for a client. Brenda Crane for your owner-occupied loans. And Mark McHale, the big dog over there, Iroquois Federal, located Savoy and Champagne. Guys, they're also out in Danville. They're based out of Watsika. They are a community lender. You got to try out Iroquois Federal looking for a home loan or a business loan, business line of credit. Kyle Lewis, my personal insurance agent. Kyle Lewis, Kyle at IPGINS.com. Send him an email, Kyle at IPGINS.com. Let's fill up his inbox and say, Jay Layman told me to email you. Also, I want to talk about Donnie. Donnie at Long Branch Steakhouse, located in beautiful downtown Eclectic Gifford. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9. Guys, come for the fried pickles and stay for the steak. I'll tell you what, the fried pickles, go there, try the fried pickles. They are the best fried pickles you're in. Tell them Jay sent you. Let's go.
Continue to weigh in on the U of I Atlanta League text line. Jay loves the interaction. We do as well. Give us your thoughts as we head towards this Illinois-Iowa game, maybe even big picture. I got one for Jay in terms of the defense going forward. Obviously a different task and one that you go from facing an Indiana offense that had a lot of success to then Deacon Hill, who Jay's been dogging on, and I think everybody in the country's been dogging on.
He played better against Rutgers.
We'll talk more about that after this break. But we'll catch one more break. Come back, finish it up with Jay. This is The Drive.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights. Dogtown is the People's Choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
We all have a mission in life, something that drives us to explore, to grow, to love. And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars. They're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Are you one of those guys out there tinting windows day in and day out, all different shades of black and ready to put a little color in your life? Come work for us. At Aftershock, we're looking for a guy with experience in wrapping, whether it be window tinting, vinyl wrapping, anything of that sort, or somebody with just ambition that wants to show up to work and be proud of what they do. You know those wraps with Troy Lands on the back waving at you? That's our work. Call us, 833-DECAL-IT, or email office@aftershockdd.com. We want you.
Back on the drive with Sam Pfeiffer, ESPN Radio 93.5, finishing up the Jay Layman Hour. Jay, you mentioned it before the break. Iowa taking care of business against Rutgers. It wasn't really a game. I know people wondered going into that one, hey, could the Knights pull it off in Iowa City? They got nothing going offensively. And you, like you said, Deacon Hill looked a little bit better. His stat line was actually above 200 yards, so what'd you see out of him in that sense and just overall Iowa last week?
Well, I would say this. Defense and special teams as advertised. Cooper DeJean, probably the best punt returner in the conference. Even better than Isaiah Williams. He's averaging 11 yards a return. They got robbed against Minnesota with the invalid fair catch call, as we all know.
Yep.
Defensively, they're going to be solid. Offensively, I thought the best play for Iowa was the Deke sneak. It was Deacon Jones sneaking. That's it. The quarterback sneak. He's like 6'5". 260, he's a load.
He's a big kid.
He's got a cannon for an arm. His accuracy has been horrendous. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I've watched, other than the second half of Rutgers, I didn't think this was a Big Ten quarterback. Obviously, came in a backup. But he had offers. I mean, he had offers. He was at Wisconsin. I think he was going to go to Fordham, I think, before Iowa scooped him up as the backup to Cade McNamara. And has he gotten better? Yes. But, man, just horrible decisions sometimes. The one was right before the half. They threw a pick to the Rutgers guy when they were about ready to score. We were joking at the Big Ten Network that if Iowa's drives just end in a kick, no matter what, they're going to win games. Whether that's field goals or whatever, they just can't turn the ball over, right? As long as they end in a kick, they're going to win games.
That's awesome.
And so this game is going to be similar. The margin for error when you play a team like Iowa is so small. Since you get down the red zone two or three times and you only get field goals, you might not win. You got to get a touchdown one of those times.
I agree.
You have one turnover, that could be the difference. You have one bad special teams play, that could be the difference. So the margin for error in this game is very, very small. You know Iowa's going to be very, very sound in technique. They're not going to beat themselves. The question is, how are we going to get yards offensively against them? We're not going to be able to throw the ball like we did against Indiana. Fagan might be out. We hope Reggie's going to be as good as he was. But how are you going to get yards and move the football? And this is where Barry Lundy gets paid, what, $700,000 to $800,000?
Exactly.
To get yards and to get points against a very good Iowa defense with the West Division on the line.
It's interesting. Deacon Hill has been sacked 11 times. So you can get to him. And overall, between he and McNamara, they've been sacked 19 times. Derek, you need to close your ears and shut your eyes. But Deacon Hill's completion percentage, 46.5%. I mean, it is bad.
And it was probably 30 before the second half of Rutgers.
Yeah.
He's not mobile. He's not good. What I never understood about Iowa, for as many NFL linemen as they produce, they don't have a consistently good run game, and they don't protect the passer that well. They're not good offensively. The Illinois defense has to create something for the Illinois offense. Hopefully just good field position by not letting them get a lot of yards and whatnot. But a turnover, a negative play, Johnny Newton's got to be a game wrecker. So all of those things, Iowa may not score points, but they will move the ball for two or three or four first downs, shorten the game. Then you only have three possessions in a half, and you're like, wow, I didn't have that many possessions. That's what they're going to do.
Can the defense take chances
against this team?
Yeah, like in other words, is there a way, like you, in a way you go into it saying, we've got to get a couple of interceptions, or we've got to get – is there any way that you can take chances? Or if you're Illinois' defense, you're just like, let's just keep them off the board and hope that we get on it.
So I think that's a great question. I think it was a lot easier to take chances last year on the back end. We took all kinds of chances, right? I'm not sure. I do think, though, against Deacon Hill, we can take more chances. I don't think he's accurate enough not to take chances to. I would take our guys in man-to-man coverage on the receivers on the outside who are not impressive, and they're down to, like, their sixth-string tight end. It's like, crazy. Usually their tight ends are LaPorta or Hockenson or Noah Fant or Lachey. I mean, you can name off all the guys that have went to the league, you know, at the tight end position there. There's three or four of them in the league right now. And you're like, okay, they're going to hit the tight end. They hit Rutgers on a big tight end play, hit the six-string tight end. So you got to cover the tight end in this offense.
Can a team who just gave up 45 say, hey, we're going to walk into Iowa, we're going to stop them? I know it's totally a different matchup.
Well, you're playing Iowa, so bet the under. But yes, yeah.
Are there any concerns that translate from what Illinois' defense did Saturday to now this weekend? Well, or is it just based on a totally more dynamic passing attack to now what Iowa's doing, which is pretty gross?
So here's what I think. I think our D-line actually played decent last week. I think our back seven didn't play great against Indiana. I thought Seth played pretty good. Gabe Backus, we showed up a little bit. I don't think Keith is 100%. I've had a high ankle sprain. Honestly, it doesn't get better for months. You might be able to play, but he's not going to be 100% probably until the bowl game. I hope he is. And he says he's fine. I just know that's probably difficult for him. I think Johnny's a wrecking ball. I think that's a great thing that we can do that. We're not good on the back end right now. Think about this. Matthew Bailey out, right? He's been out for the season. Xavier Scott, probably one of our better players. But they've had kind of a revolving door at safety. We've seen Nicario Harper in there. We've seen Clayton Bush make a lot of plays in the run game. We've seen him make a lot of plays. We've seen Miles Scott, other than that big play, has had his moments as well. And then at corner, you know, Zach Tobe's really young. We've seen, I can't remember which DB got beat on the tying touchdown, but there's a lot of youth out there, right? And so we can take some chances, but I just think our matchup is just better. Not that every team's matchup isn't better against Iowa, but I think you have to be physical. We're more physical than we are skilled. And so that's why I think our matchup is better in Iowa defensively against them.
On the whole, as you look at it, this is beyond just the matchup this Saturday, but I think as you evaluate throughout the season, there's been a lot of criticism or just wonderings of how should we feel about Barry Lenny Jr. throughout this season, particularly in the first half of it.
Sure.
As you look at it defensively, they've given up darn near 30 points a game this season. You mentioned some of the personnel issues, which I would argue they maybe should have addressed some of that in the portal and then on the back end. But how would you evaluate at this stage Aaron Henry and what's going on defensively, kind of in the bigger picture sense?
So first off, you mentioned Barry Lenny. I think Barry Lenny, there was a lot of questions halfway through the season. I think he has done a tremendous job of giving us a chance down the stretch here, throwing the football.
Agreed.
He's done better as far as drawing stuff. And a lot of that is that their offensive line played better.
Mm-hmm.
I think defensively, we have not been as good as we thought we would be, especially with two all Big Ten tackles. Now, Keith's been hurt since the Nebraska game, okay? So we can't really not. And Keith's been productive when he's been in there. I don't think they've got the production, maybe the last two or three weeks there, but Gabe Backus and Seth Coleman largely, up until about two or three weeks ago, were not as productive as we thought they were.
Yep.
Johnny was really the only guy that produced on a consistent level as being disruptive. I think Xavier Scott and Dylan Rosiak are going to be great players for a long time. I think Josh Kreutz are going to be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think we have any of the experience that we had. So I think some of it is experience. Some of it is we are breaking in a new defensive coordinator. And, you know, there's things when you do stuff for the first time, you learn from those. That's why there's experience. I think if you go back to Aaron Henry, he would probably say, man, I would have done this differently.
Sure.
But again, that goes back to Brett Bielema saying, I see enough value in Aaron Henry to say to Kevin Kane, you can go. I'm going to take Aaron Henry, whether that was for because he believed he was a better fit, whether it was for recruiting, whatever.
Yep.
So that's on Brett Bielema, right? I'm going to put my chips on the Aaron Henry thing and say this. And they've got three or four D coordinators. That Andy Booz, a former D coordinator. Brett's a D coordinator. Jim Leonard's an analyst. Probably getting paid $30,000 a year or whatever. Maybe nothing because he's got a buyout, right?
Right.
So it's like you got defensive minds there. So it's certainly not all on Aaron Henry. We could say, hey, Aaron Henry's calling stuff. Yeah. But Brett's making sure, you know, he's pretty hands-on with corners. Jim Leonard's an analyst. We got Andy Boo, you know, good defensive mind.
Sure.
So
great recruiter.
It's not just one guy. And so there's a lot of defensive minds altogether.
Do you think Illinois finds a spot for Jim Leonard next year? Do you try everything you can to find a spot for him, even if you know it's not his defensive coordinator? Or does Jim Leonard say, guys, I appreciated the year as an analyst. I'm going to go do what I do best.
Well, listen, I think if Jim Leonard wants to be a position coach, you make a way to
in
find
a heartbeat
to get him to be a position coach. I don't think Jim Leonard is going to be a position coach.
No.
I think he could be the next D coordinator at USC. I really think he's probably got to be on the short list for you know, Lincoln Riley, because USC's entering the Big Ten.
Oh,
you're going to want a D coordinator that really knows the conference, how it's played, how to stop teams. And I think Jim Leonard can make $2 or $3 million a year being the USC D coordinator. I think that's already probably in the works. I don't have any details. That'd be my hire for him. I don't think you're keeping him in Champaign.
I guess I was asking.
Your mind was just blown right there.
Well, it was because I'm like, but I didn't want to ask what I want to ask. All right. Brett Bielema's 18-17 in his third year. 18-17. That might not mean much. He's a game over 500 in his third year. That doesn't happen often with Illinois football coaches.
Not a ton.
What? I mean, it's nice to see this rush of wins here late to try to keep the momentum going, obviously, into next year. After following 8 wins, a chance now to even get back to that total if you win out.
I think if they get back to the total, that'd be phenomenal. Yeah. I think you got to get to 6 to keep your momentum going. I think you can pitch and say, listen, we had some injury issues in the middle of the season.
Sure.
And we lost a lot to the NFL. Okay? That is what it is. But I think going forward now, if you don't have bowl games, it's a disappointment. It would have been a disappointment this year if it was a bowl game.
Totally.
So it's like, hey, we got to go to a bowl game. I don't care that the West is done. I don't care that the schedule gets tougher. The expectation is that Illinois goes to a bowl game. They've got to keep getting better. I'm happy for what Brett's done. Guys, we are light years away from where Lovey had this program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were not competent. We would keep games for, you know, close for a quarter and a half, maybe 3 quarters if we got 3 or 4 turnovers. But you never felt a sense of building or hoping. I still think we have that sense of building something here. Now, it kind of went away there in that weird Purdue-Nebraska kind of vibe kind of thing. Like, what has happened? You know, but I think we've kind of got it back. We've got a guy we can build around in Luke Altmyer. They've seemed to be developing offensive linemen, although we want more. We want more defensive linemen. Can you keep Keith Randolph? Can you keep Isaiah Williams? Can you keep Tip Ryman one more year? I think that would help. Can we get them some NIL money to help? Shoot, can we get John Paddock, the backup quarterback, some NIL money for winning 2 games? He's probably done more than some of these other guys.
Right.
So there's other different things we've got to address.
As of today, Jay, what would you put the odds at for Illinois making a bowl game?
I think the odds are pretty high. I mean, I would give us an 80% chance of going to a bowl. I think we're going to win at least one of two of these games. I hope we win both of them. I think we got a good chance to win both of them. We also could go to a bowl game as a 5-7 team.
Sure,
I'm not sure what our academic standing is. But Northwestern's going to go to a bowl no matter what. They're number one in whatever that APR something or other is. So they're going to a bowl game. I think because they got 5 wins, which is crazy. David Braun, kind of coach of the year vibes.
He might be
the head coach there next year. It's hard to coach there. It's hard to get somebody that you want there. But I think 80% chance we're going to go to a bowl game.
I like it. How about your sponsors to close it out,
Iroquois
my man?
Iroquois Federal, your one-stop shop for all your lending needs. Bob. Mark McHale, Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane. What an all-star team over there, man. That's like the 1927 Yankees right there. But in banking, folks, that's what it is. And then what about Kyle Lewis? Kyle at IPG Insurance. Kyle at IPGINS.com. Let's blow up his inbox. Kyle at IPGINS.com.
Have him give you a quote.
Give him a quote.
It's that simple.
That's spoken from a great insurance guy.
There you go.
Give him a quote.
I mean, they're free.
Let them compete. They're free. I mean, the insurance guys don't tell you it's work for them.
Right.
But it's free. They're going to work for you. That's a great point. He'll go to work for you. And I will also say, get yourself some steak and some fried pickles at Long Branch Steakhouse. Donnie's here. He says, hey, come on through Wednesday through Saturday. Beautiful downtown eclectic giver.